Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Are you active in the Indiana Society of CPAs?
Yes, absolutely.
And do they discuss at all the problem that the profession is going through?
With respect to?
Number of people taking the CPA exam. People majoring in accounting.
I think that people are majoring in accounting. I think that I've definitely seen the number of people at least passing the CPA exam going down from what I've seen. As far as talking about it, I don't think that the Indiana CPA Society has really broached that subject, but I do think it's a problem. I've talked to other partners in larger firms, owners of firms like mine that have seen that also with their staff. Like, how do you incentivize these people to, get their license, study for it, you monetarily incentivize them, but sometimes that's not enough. Like, how do you get somebody to understand, like, it's so important to get, to get your CPA?
Well, I think they want more quality of life. Is that correct? I mean, or do they not mind working? How many hours a week do you work during busy season?
During busy season, typically 60.
And do you find the people, do people get tired of that? I mean, do they feel like they're not getting a quality of life that they would like?
Well, I think this year everybody got tired of it just because of, that extra month they threw on there. I think that was just completely ridiculous. And, what that does is it makes it so clients then kind of spread that load of work out, because everybody signs up, if you go to work for a public accounting firm, you know what you're getting into, right? You had a 14-week busy season, but then you go on and you have a great, rest of your year, and, busy season can be fun too. So there's not, I don't think that, but I definitely think like my staff, myself, everybody, I think got worn out with that extra month. And I saw they did a lot of surveys, and I have to think that people that were answering these surveys were like one-man shops that like wanted the extra month. Because I can tell you, like, firms like ours, I mean, that was the worst thing for our staff just overall. Like, oh my gosh, we have, we turned 14 weeks down to 18 weeks.
Yeah, I think people got confused with the extension periods and when, how long they could get. And
because just file an extension. I mean, that's all that people needed to do.
You have nothing to lose by filing, right?
Right. And if, honestly, I thought the first one was silly too. I think, if they would have just, they could have made it really simple from the start with the IRS. They could have said, okay, we're going to waive, we're going to essentially give everybody 6 months. So until October 15th, we're going to waive the failure to file penalty and waive the failure to pay penalty. Like, very simple. Instead, we create these weird deadlines, May 15th, June
16th. Are you trying to say that the IRS was not really making it simple?
They did not make it simple. I think they could have made a lot better judgment calls on that. And, obviously, I don't know what political pressure they're under and everything else. So I'm sure there's more to the story than just somebody haphazardly deciding all these rules are a good thing or whatever else. But it just for a practitioner like me who does this every day, it didn't make sense what they were doing.
I graduated college and, actually a lot of my mother, who was security conscious, said, oh, go work for the IRS, 30 years and you retire, blah, blah, blah. And actually IRS was, they were a little, they didn't just hire everybody.
Yeah.
And yet today, if I have to call the IRS, all right, I might as well call someone who has a pet store to get my questions answered. They really don't seem to be very well trained as they were before. I don't know. Do you find that? Or?
Well, definitely in the call center level. I mean, these people are not CPAs answering the phone. I can tell you that much.
Well, you used to be able to get through beyond the call center.
Now, call center.
It's an unusually heavy day today, and the wait is 30 hours, actually 60 minutes. And God, you think to yourself, what happened here? We have this pandemic. Would they fire everybody?
I think they overly went crazy with some of the restrictions, like, oh, we're going to 25% capacity. I heard something recently, like only half of their copy machines work because the people that service them couldn't get into the IRS operating centers because of COVID, some COVID rules. You know, it's like, okay, well, I don't know about you, but like my copy machines, they all work. I've never had a problem with that. If I have an issue, it gets fixed the next day. But, you know, I don't know. They're just not efficient. And
well, I guess the question is, why should they be?
Yeah,
you know,
they don't have the same incentives that we do in the private sector that, hey, if we're not efficient, you know, someone else is going to do the job correctly. And then, you know, we're either going to lose clients, go out of business, whatever. Whereas the IRS isn't going to go out of business.
No, they're not.
So, and yeah, you run into that. And then there's also, like, you know, you mentioned the wait time on hold. You know, there's private sector solutions to those. I subscribe to a service called ENQ. It costs me $100 a month. And it makes it so I only wait on hold for about 3 to 5 minutes for the IRS.
You moved to the front of the line, huh?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do you pay for that?
I'm just $100 a month.
That's very reasonable.
Very reasonable, yeah. And if it's based on the number of minutes you use, so that gives you 500 IRS minutes a month.
How many people do you think know about that from a practice standpoint?
I don't know. Facebook told me one time. I was just on Facebook and they told me about it. I was like, okay, there was an ad. So I just said, I'll click here and give them a credit card number. We started using it. This was like, 5 years ago. And it's just made life a lot easier.
And the name of that service is what? Let's give them a plug. What's the name of the service?
It is ENQ.
ENQ.
Yeah, I believe their website is callenq.com. But yeah, it's a great service.
That is great.
They get you to the front of the line with the IRS. They've got all the different, you know, departments that you need to talk to. So they essentially have replaced the IRS's 800 number with their 800 number. And then they give you a PIN number to type in. So then that way they can kind of track your usage and make sure you pay them. And
can they get you a fast pass at Disney World?
I have not asked them, but they may have a connection there too.
You go right to the front of the line. Actually, now that I think about it, not too many people have been to Disney World lately. But anyway, you've lived in Indianapolis all your life.
Yes.
All right. Is that because any specific reason? Do you ever think about leaving Indianapolis?
You know, not really. After college, when I was a junior in college, I got an internship and then that turned into a full-time job while I was still in school. So, you know, it's kind of just went from that. And then I went to a smaller firm and then started this. And, you know, really all my professional connections and business connections and everything else are here. I have a lot of friends here, a lot of family here. So, I like it. So, yeah, I mean, I like to travel. Don't get me wrong. But as far as just picking up and leaving, no, I haven't thought about that.
Without any trade secrets, all right? Can you give us some ideas of how someone who is young, just became a CPA, but wants to have their own practice, how do you get clients?
Well, if they just became a CPA, they probably need a little bit of experience under their belt just because, you know, these people are coming to you for solutions to their problems. And if you haven't experienced really delivering those solutions, I think it would be hard to compete against a CPA firm that has that experience, that has those people. I guess once you have that experience, what I can tell you is I've seen a lot of solo practitioner CPAs really struggle just because they see the cost of adding staff more as a expense rather than like a investment. You know, from the time that we got started, I had a total, including myself, of 3 people. So, you know, granted, it wasn't 14 like we have today, but, you know, we had 3 people. So the whole idea is you've got to utilize, you know, that teamwork, that leverage, those different skill sets in order to be able to better serve clients. So I think it's real hard for that, you know, that solo person, because let's say I'm talking to you or I'm working on a client project. I can't help that other client that needs our help. Whereas, you know, we're having a conversation. I'm sure we've had clients call and need something and my staff's taking care of it. So those types of things I think are important. As far as getting clients goes, I mean, I just think leveraging your professional network. I think people, you know, interacting with others that are career-oriented, professional people, getting involved in different activities, whether those be, you know, your kid's school, or those are networking activities, or really just simply, or even just simply like hanging out and going to have dinner with like-minded friends. And, you know, I think you can find opportunities that way. As far as other things, there's definitely, definitely SEO and, web-based traffic. But I can tell you the majority of the clients that come to us are from either referrals from other clients that think we did a good job for them, or, you know, people, they're a referral from someone I know professionally.
When you left your full-time job and decided I want to have my own practice, all right, how afraid were you of failing? Did you ever think about that a lot, or did you always say, I'm going to make this work
no matter what? I'm not the type of person that really gets concerned about that. I'm really kind of more of an optimistic type person. So yeah, I wasn't afraid of not being able to, you know, be successful. The level of that success, sure. Like, okay, obviously you leave a full-time thing, you start a practice, you're not going to have the same level of income to take home to your family as you did the year before. That's just a simple fact. So you got to be okay with that. And you've got to kind of figure out from an overall just kind of budgetary standpoint, like, you know, what, you know, how much do you need to be able to live? And if that's your full salary, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get to that just like month one, unless you have some sort of like a one client that's like paying your whole, all of your expenses. But, you know, I think just sticking with it and really, I mean, we're working hard. I mean, starting your own firm is not a 9-to-5 job. You've got to be out there. I mean, you've got to be going to social activities. You've got to be, you know, going to breakfast, going to after hours things, just kind of, meeting with clients, working on Saturday, you know, working late, get things done. It takes some sacrifice for it. It's just not something that just comes automatically. But I mean, to your point, I have those types of, I have no problem with those types of roles and doing those types of things to succeed. So yeah, I was never concerned with it, but definitely there's a lot of, I think people should really make sure that they have a plan put together before they just kind of take a leap of faith.
Should they pick a niche? You know, is it better to have a niche than just be a general accountant, taking any type of client?
Well, I mean, I think when you get started, you kind of have to take whatever clients come to you. I mean, obviously, you know, if there's somebody that wants to do something unethical or illegal, that's a completely different situation. But I mean, as far as clients that are willing to pay your fees and everything else, you kind of have to take who comes to you. And you're able to be a little bit more selective once you establish a practice. But as far as determining a niche, I don't know if you need to figure out, you know, essentially like an industry to focus on, but you definitely need to figure out what services are you going to offer and to whom. You know, we don't do any sort of like audits or reviews, those types of services. You know, we have clients that need those types of services and we refer those out to other CPA firms. We don't do any business valuations here. We have clients that need those. We refer them out to another CPA firm. So, you know, there's things like that where you got to figure out what you're good at, what your team's good at, and then focus on those things, in my opinion. And then, you know, figure out and then surround yourself with people that are able to provide services to clients and other things. You know, we don't do any sort of like, you know, investment advisory work here, but we work with multiple financial advisors that we're able to refer that work back and forth with them. And, you know, we're not lawyers, but we work with lawyers. And if somebody has a legal need, had a legal need this morning, we're able to refer them to somebody that I know is going to be able to get the job done. So it's really just about maintaining, you know, figuring out what lane you should be in, staying in that, and then you got to have the solutions to be able, you know, if somebody calls me with a legal problem, obviously we're not going to represent them in court because I'm not a lawyer, but I know somebody that can take care of that for him. So just being able to make that connection, I think, adds value for the client.
Do you always get, if you refer people to other professionals, do you find that they reciprocate and refer you, or how do you look at that?
I think generally speaking, obviously, that's not the only criteria you're going to use when you send in some, referring somebody to somebody. Obviously, I want to make sure that it's in the client's best interest. I want to make sure they're a good fit. You know, we're not going to sense just because you've got a buddy who's a business lawyer and, maybe they need more clients or whatever. You're not going to refer somebody that had some sort of a criminal matter to them. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And, it's not something that's, it's not like a one-for-one type of thing. But I think largely people that help you, you help them, and then you're able to collaborate on those clients. I'd much rather have one of my clients work with somebody that I know that I've worked with before, because then I can have that conversation with them. Hey, have we thought about this? And you just know that they have that level of knowledge, and you can work well with them.
I would guess that being born and raised in Indianapolis helped you to some extent build your practice, did it not?
Certainly,
you knew a lot of people.
Yeah, certainly. Right. I don't think it would just be a thing where I'd, pack up and go down to, South Carolina and say, oh, I'm just going to start a practice and have the same level of success that I've had here.
Why South Carolina? I'm just
kidding. I made that up.
Actually, that's a booming area.
It is, yeah.
It is, and actually, but I like your furniture, so don't leave. Don't leave the area. And is that the Capitol in the back that I see?
It is, yeah.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, we're downtown.
Yeah, very nice. And I'm glad you've been in now for what, 5 years?
Yeah.
8 months?
I started the practice at the end of 2015 and really haven't looked back. So it's been it's been great. And we've got a great team here, which I think is very important to, taking care of clients, to everything else. So, but yeah, I definitely would encourage anybody who got an accounting degree, got their 150 hours to make time for the CPA exam, because you only have to do it once. You do it once and you're done, and then you just do some continuing ed for the rest of your life.
Could you say that passing the CPA, continuing ed, okay. Could you say that passing the CPA exam has changed your life?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that.
All right. And that's what I always say to people. Take the exam. You just don't know where you're going to be in 10 years.
Right.
But you'll know one thing. If you don't have it, you might not be too far in 10 years. It doesn't hurt to take it. But of course, some people say, I don't want to be an accountant. That's a person who's dull and, puts me to sleep. And I say, no, that's not the way it is. It really isn't.
Yeah, I just see people put it off. And, obviously there's, you're younger or whatever, there's a lot of different things to do. And, obviously there's only a limited number of hours in the day. So, I mean, I think that's what sometimes people fall into, is just not allocating the time to be able to, take it and pass it and really be able to, get those letters behind your name, because it just opens up a lot of opportunities. And, makes it so you're more marketable, makes it so you're going to make more money, makes it so you're going to be, more respected, however you want to look at that. But I think it's important.
Well, for the last thing, what would you say if I was going into a college school of business? All right. Would you, I say to you, I'm going to major in finance when I graduate, versus accounting. I don't have to worry about that extra fifth year, which is extra tuition. So, and also the first year salaries are much higher than being an accountant. All right. So, you know what? I'm going to be a finance major. All right. You see anything that you wouldn't agree with in that statement?
Well, as far as first year salaries being higher, I don't know if that's the case. I mean, maybe people that get a job in New York City or Chicago, and maybe the cost of living is a lot more. Maybe they are making a little bit more. I don't know. What I would say is, I think having a double major in accounting and finance is a great thing. And so I think if somebody wants to, and then, to your point about that fifth year, I mean, you don't have to get a master's in accounting. You can get a double major in accounting and finance, have 150 credit hours, take the exam. You can take bowling for all they care. I mean, all you have to have is those credit hours. So,
what is that? Is that considered a BB degree, a Bachelor of Bowling?
It might be. I don't know. You got to have the accounting degree with 150 credit hours, and then you take the exam and. Get your license. And the other thing that's nice, that I think is nice, I know a lot of attorneys, And, you know, they've got to take the bar exam in multiple states. So if they want to move their family across the country, they can go take an exam again. That's not the way it works with a CPA. You get a CPA license once, it's good all over the country. And like I said, you do your continuing ed, you act ethically and do everything else, and you're good for life.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much. I'm glad it sounds like you're doing well with your firm. And I think you gave some good insights as far as, you know, how do you start a firm? How do you market? And there's a lot more. There are plenty of classes you can take on networking. All right. Now, of course, if you hate people, you have a problem.
Right.
All right? You like people, don't you?
I do.
Okay, good. I think that's important. And by the way, you don't have to be someone who's in front of people all the time. Do you have to be? What do you mainly do now? Are you more administrative than anything? Is that what you do?
No, I do. You know, so as far as like client service stuff, I typically do a lot of budgeting and strategic planning. I review all the tax returns that leave this office. So I make sure that, you know, things are done most strategically, accurately, kind of do overall, just figure out what services we want to offer, provide guidance to clients, consulting services. And then I'm also, you know, I meet with prospective clients, talk to them, figure out their needs, figure out if we'd be a good fit to help them. You know, I'll represent clients before like the IRS, the state of Indiana. But yeah, I mean, I'm in front of people, but that doesn't mean, I mean, somebody who's a CPA, just because you're a CPA doesn't mean you have to be in front of people all the time.
But you said, I'm listening to you, you're very excited and passionate about what you do.
I am. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. That's great. Well, Michael, stay well. You had your vaccine, by the way?
I have. I got both shots and I got sick. So I had both at the Motor Speedway here, that where the Indy 500 is. So I had both of them about 5:30 at the Moderna, at 5:30 at night. And then like the next day at about between like 2 and 3 o'clock, I started really feeling really crappy. And both times I had to have a staff member drive me home. So
yeah, that's a typical, you feel tired. Achy.
Yeah, you kind of clammy, and I didn't feel like in the right frame of mind to like talk.
Of course.
Everything else, yeah.
Well, you're fine now, and that's good.
Yep.
And it sounds like you are growing, and that's also good. And just enjoy what you do. I think that's the most important thing in life. You got to enjoy what you
do
on a daily basis. Well, we were lucky today. I mean, Michael is. To get a viewing with him. Is that the right word? An appointment with him, all right? I had to wait months. But anyway, Michael was nice enough to be with us today and share a lot of good ideas. And by the way, Michael can be actually, you can be reached on LinkedIn, is that correct?
I sure can.
And you were the 40 under 40, were you not?
I was this year, yeah, accounting practice advisor.
Congratulations, all right? I've never been asked to be in anything, actually. But anyway, if you want to get a hold of Michael, it's Michael Jameson. And your firm is
what? Target CPA.
Target CPA.
Okay. Target CPA.
On Target. All right. Did you get Target asking you to change your name?
No.
No, no. Okay, good, good.
They're okay with us, I think.
All right. Well, stay well.
We spend money there, so.
Okay, that's good. All right. And by the way, Target's an excellent store. You wouldn't see me in there, but it's an excellent store, if I might say. Anyway, Michael, take care. Thanks a lot for your time.
You.
All right. By the way, this is Phil Yeager, and every Tuesday we have a new show, and we cover topics that we feel are of interest to you. And if there are any other topics, you can reach me at my phone number, which is 301-874-4900. I'm extension 5, and I'll be happy to talk to you about CPA exam, what's going on with the profession, or how can I meet a dynamic guy like Michael Jameson? That would be another question I may have. So anyway, Michael, take care. Stay well. Enjoy the summer, by the way.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Take care. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.